Okay, so last night I was preparing for Agata to share for I think next week, and I was working on the Gemara that deals with all the things that were created, Ben Hashmashot, at creation, fascinating stuff, and the origin of fire. That's not what we're talking about now. That's just precursor to next week. But as you know, sometimes when I am researching a topic, I accidentally are like, look, oh, there's an article about it. Oh, that's actually a PhD. Oh, I guess I have to read the PhD. So last night I sat down to read this PhD on Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, and I will share some of the insights that are relevant for the Agadah to next week. But in the meantime, this Rachel Edelman had an analysis of this week's parsha, so I figured, look, I'm already reading the PhD, I might as well share an insight for you. Okay, so right at the beginning of the parsha, we have the very interesting moment where Yaakov is running away, and he goes to sleep, and he has a vision of angels going up and down, and he wakes up and he says, "Wow, mano ra makom hazeh in zekim him v'zeh shara shamayim. Wow, this is the gateway to heaven. I didn't know." And then he takes a stone and makes it into a matzeva, which of course I didn't quite realize the obvious pun there, right? Where why does he do that? Why does he make it into a matzeva? Because his dream was a sulam mutzav artzav Hashem mitzav alav. So obviously the response to, right, the same word for it speak, right, is matzeva. And he makes the promise that we talked at the beginning of the week that if God safeguards him, he'll give maaser. Okay? Yes? So I hadn't paid enough attention to this, even though I read Pirkei Elazar a few weeks ago, I guess. The Midrash in Pirkei Elazar, which is a bit of a medieval Midrash with some earlier material, makes a very interesting move. And it says, and it starts, and this is classic Midrash. It flips who's doing what, right? Something looks human in the Psukim, and sometimes the Psukim, the Midrash will be like, no, it's God. It's God. So listen to this amazing Midrash. Vayashav Yaakov et ha'avanim. Yaakov returns to collect the stones. Matzautam kulam. Evan Achad, he found them as one stone. Visamotam matzeva betocha makom. And he makes the matzeva. So far, Psukim. Vayered lo shemen min hashamayim vayitzok aleha. An oil came from heaven that he just poured on it, which means that who is sanctifying the space? Partially man, right? Depending on who you think the Vayitzok is, right? Whether you think God is pouring the oil, but God is giving him the oil, which means that the Midrash is introducing God into this and saying it's not just Yaakov, which is sanctifying the place. It is God. And then if it wasn't clear to you that God is involved, one second, I'll see your hand. Natar regel yimino, God took his right foot. Don't ask me what that means. V'tavaha even ad imke tahomot, and he sunk the stone to the bottoms of the depths. Va'asa oto snif la'aretz, and he made it the keystone of the earth. Adam shows a snif la'kipa, like a person who makes a keystone to an arch. V'fichach nikra even ashtia. And that stone is called the foundation stone, which normally we think of the stone from which the world was created, which maybe it also is, but the Midrash puts a spin on it and says, Shemisham hu tavor haaretz, because it is the navel of the earth, umisham nimtecha kol haaretz, and from there the earth was evolved, va'alea heichal Hashem omed, and from there God's Beit HaMikdash will stand, shenamar ve'even azot, asher samti matzeva, and now who's talking? Not Yaakov. God says that the stone that I put as a matzeva, Yabed Elokim, will be the house of God. Right? So the Midrash plays with the image and says, oh, you think it's Yaakov? Not quite. God pours the oil, God steps on it, and God says, I am laying the foundation to all of creation and the Beit HaMikdash for good measure. Yes, Emmanuel. A monument. A monument. And at that point, Minaval Yaakov al Panav Arza Lifnei Yevin Shia, and Yaakov falls on his face by Yamit Palel Lifnei Hakadosh Baruch when Davins, and he says, Ribon Golem Tishrein LaMakom Hazeh B'Shalom. And now, once God has declared that it's the Beit HaMikdash, Yaakov says, whoa, this is the Beit HaMikdash, so if you bring me back here, I'll bring you Karbanot, right? Totally different spin. It's like, why is he saying that? No, he's not making a promise. It's like, wait, you just made this the Beit HaMikdash? Well, if I get back here, I know what I'm going to do here. And that is, right? Shenemar v'yisa Yaakov raglav. And then, then Kerev ayin bala charan, like magic, he ends up with charan. Shenemar v'yisa Yaakov raglav. V'yomar v'yitei Yaakov v'yersheva. V'akel ha-gadosh minikdash b'tzdaka. Right? God is sanctified like this. And the angel said, v'anu al yonim v'amru baruch ata Hashem ha-kel ha-gadosh. Right? Okay. What is going on in this Midrash, right? What is going on in this Midrash that we flip everything? We say, oh yes, it looked like Yaakov is making a mitzvah. No, God himself is sanctifying the space in response to Yaakov's attempt. And also, it's weirdly anachronistic, right? Because now God is making the foundation stone. Wait a second. I don't understand. The foundation stone of the world? Yeah. Right? He said, from which the world was evolved. You're doing that now. You know the world was created a while ago. I mean, I don't have to tell you. You're God. Well, right? So what exactly is is the point? What is the meaning of this Midrash? What? No, when he went to sleep. Right? He saw the vision. Not when he first, right? That was when he wakes up and he says, I didn't know what was going on. So Radal, in his commentary, reinterprets it and he says that the Midrash isn't saying he created the world. It's that this moment, for some reason, is strengthening and affirming the existence of the world. Right? Because, right, I mean, that's what the Midrash is saying, right? That God is establishing the stone from which he had created the world, right? Clearly, for some reason, this moment is one where God is, as it were, reestablishing the world. Now, what? Yeah, or I don't know. I don't know exactly what it means for God to reestablish the world. But yes, but why? Right? What is the Midrash doing? Right? Why is it doing this? So what Edelman argues is that, right, you have to think about what the Midrash is doing. What's the major problem that they're responding to? That Yaakov says, Ein zekim beit elokim v'zeh shaar shamayim. This is the home of God. Except where is he? Beit El. He's in Beit El, right? What is the problem? It's not the Beit HaMikdash. So what do Chazal need to do? Oh, it's got to be Har Moriah, right? It's got to be Avram, right? I think Rashi does that, right? Oh, he realized it was Har Moriah, right? This is following that Midrashic tradition and saying, whoa, right? First of all, we got to move it to Har Moriah, away from Beit El. But that doesn't answer it. That's found in many midrashim. This midrash goes farther and says that God is bringing the Evin Ashtiyah here, right? God is establishing. God is the one who sanctifies this spot. Why would you do that? One possibility she suggests is it's part of a polemic against the Shomronim, who think that where is Shara Shamayim? In Shem. Right? Har Grizim and Har Eval. Another possibility is that they are really, really obsessed with the idea that it not be a Beit El. Why not? Because Yeravam, when he takes the home of God away from Yerushalayim, puts it in Beit El. Right? Which requires a polemic response. Joseph Heinemann notes that parts of Pirkei Avos are very late and are actually medieval, and argues that this is specifically responding to Islam, right? It's specifically responding to Islam because they have the Evin, right, Shtia in Kaaba, right? And they have Kaaba in Mecca, right? However, not necessarily, because it actually merges with other Islamic tradition, specifically the notion that Al-Aqsa, right, the Al-Aqsa Mosque is what? right, is where he has his nighttime journey and lands on the stone. You know, and they, well, fine, but they believe that that place is holy because Muhammad in the dream lands on a stone, which is there. Which would then merge the traditions. But what would it do, right? But the polemic would therefore say that, right, that God, right, it's not Yaakov. It's not Yaakov's doing it, but it's, right, God is sanctifying this spade. And note that, right, there is this is the inverse of the Islamic tale, right, where he's that magically, like in his dream, Muhammad ends up in Yerushalayim, where this Midrash Brigid Lazar says, first he establishes Yerushalayim, and then he spirited off to Haran, right? It's like the inverse of that tradition. Right, so it's possible, right, that this is, right, is creating some sort of polemic against all the different places. And because you're making a polemic and saying all the people claim that these other places are holy, or they were made holy in these ways, the Midrash is responding and saying, no, it's Yerushalayim, and it's God himself who makes it holy. Now, the other thing, right, that's clear throughout the Midrash is that what else does it do? Right, is that the Evin Shtiyah, which normally is viewed as what keeps the waters of the, right, the deep from overflowing, the fact that we identify the Beit HaMikdash also aligns the building of the Beit HaMikdash with the initial act of creation, right? However, right, in a different way, because what does it do? It invites man into creation itself. Right, it's also an interesting move, because what is it saying? That the Beit HaMikdash is aligned with creation itself, but even though God is still involved, right, he's putting his stamp of approval, who made the Matseva that God then confirmed as the Evin Shtiyah on the Beit HaMikdash? Man, right? Which means that this Midrash is also linking the time of creation with the Beit HaMikdash and with human contribution. Right, so what Edelman points out in his dissertation is that, right, and as you know, I like reading Midrashim carefully, right? The Midrash here is turning, right, is taking a pasuk, which A, doesn't take place in Yerushalayim, B, is completely human centric, right? That man, that he realizes God is here, he sets it up, and transforms it, said God sanctifies it, and this isn't just A, and it's Yerushalayim, and it's also the place where the world was created, right? And she says, well, what is the Midrash doing? And she notes, well, that's exactly what it's doing. A, is it's affirming the fact that only Yerushalayim is where God's presence can be, not Beit El for the, right, for Yeravam, and not Shechem for the Shomronim, and not all the Islamic traditions, which Brigid Lazar is a very late Midrash, so it was in conversation with that as well. Second of all, it's noting that, yes, Yerushalayim is the place of creation, but the Chiddush of the Beit HaMikdash is that God is involved, he has to be involved at some level because it's about creation, but he's not the only one involved. He's inviting man into the process, which transforms what you think about the Beit HaMikdash. On the one hand, it is the place from which the world was created, but it's the place where God invited man to be involved in the creation process itself. Right? And therefore, by making these slight changes, it's actually changing sort of the entire theological view of how important Yerushalayim is, and God's involvement and human involvement. So that's how she analyzes the Midrash, which I thought was a very interesting analysis of the Midrash.